Well, greetings, Covenant Community Church. We thought maybe in the midst of this virus and all the concerns that we have and all the uncertainty, it might be good to talk a little bit about fear and anxiety. I don't want to preach to you this today. I don't want to give a teaching so much as I just want to have a talk, like as if we were sitting together in my office, which I greatly miss, sitting in my office talking to people. You know, I think when you think of fear and anxiety, fear comes from uncertainty, and it comes from the inability to control the events around us. And you think of this coronavirus, certainly it's filled with uncertainty, and we seemingly have very little control over what's happening except to do what we're doing, which is sheltering in place, which is passive at best, and certainly we don't feel very like we're actively doing anything. And so certainly that creates an environment where fear can grow. And it's interesting because in Scripture, probably roughly 300 times or more, God tells us not to be afraid. And what's interesting, two things about that I find interesting. One is that he never condemns us. When he tells us not to be afraid. And one of the reasons he repeats this command throughout Scripture is because he knows us. And he knows that we live in a fallen, dangerous world, and we are filled with weakness and the inability to control circumstances around us so often. And so he knows this, and he tells us not to be afraid, but not in a condemning way. In fact, many, if not most, or all the Scriptures where that command is given, it's usually accompanied with some form of, "For I am with you." So God, instead of condemning us, assures us of his presence in the midst of our fears. And I think that, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah 41:10, where Israel's going to be in a difficult time. And God says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Surely I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And it's interesting, too. He says, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you." But then he also says, "Don't look anxiously about you." And I think that fear and anxiety always go together. It typically starts with fear, then moves to anxiety. Because what anxiety is the search for strength in the midst of weakness. It's the search for control in the midst of lack of control. And you think what God is saying there, he's basically saying, listen, in the midst of your fear, don't be anxious. Don't look about you in the sense that you're looking for something outside of you or inside of you that's going to give you the ability to master this fear and to get control of the situation. And one of the names of God is El Elyon, which is God Most High, also to be defined as the Strong One. Or if you will, the strongest strong one, because he's the possessor of heaven and earth. And so the way I like to think of that is when I'm anxious, what I'm doing is searching for a way to find strength within me in my circumstances, which is really like searching for strength inside of the weakest weak one, and that would be me. And God's saying, you can do that. You can search for strength within yourself, you being the weakest weak one, or you can come to me, the strongest strong one, who is the possessor of heaven and earth. So that's the first thing I think we need to understand, is the connection between fear and anxiety and what anxiety actually is and what generates it. But then the thought comes, well, then what do I do with this anxiety? If I'm supposed to cease searching within myself and I'm instead supposed to remember that God is with me, well, how is it that I'm going to experience this concept, this reality of God is with me? Well, there's a couple other scriptures that give us some insight there. One is Philippians 4:6, which many of you know. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord." So you think, okay, so don't be anxious. Again, God's saying don't do that, but again, not in a condemning way, but instead do this. Come and pray to me. Well, what is that? Simply come and talk to me about this, okay? and make supplication to me. Supplication is the idea of coming to God in need and then ask for what you need. Okay, so the idea is instead of going within ourselves, we come to God, we tell him what is going on in our hearts, that's prayer. We tell him what we need and we express our weakness and our inability. And then we ask him for what we need. We make requests. The idea of being thankful is the idea of faith, where you believe that God is actually who he says he is and he's going to do what he said he would do. So I think that goes back to that idea of Psalm 62:8, which is in your newsletter this week, the idea of pouring out our hearts to God in prayer, asking for what we need, and then trusting that he in his own time, in his own way, in his own powerful provision, will make himself present to us in the way that makes a difference in our anxiety and in our fear. So the first thing, obviously, is prayer, in terms of seeing prayer in that way, okay, not as some job or some performance or some way to get God to do what he doesn't want to do, but simply coming to him as his child, pouring it out to him and asking him for what only realizing only he can do for me, something I can't do for myself. But there's another part there. You know, you think of in Joshua 1, let me look that up here. Joshua was, you can imagine how afraid Joshua might have been. He's about ready to cross the Jordan River and head into the promised land and make war against the Canaanites who ruled that land for 400 years and has been promised to the Israelites to have. And they're to take on these wicked nations and drive them out. And yet he's just taken over from Moses. He's new at this. He's never led really armies into battle in any significant way. They've had some experience with battle, but very little compared to the warlike Canaanites. And God's saying, here's what God says to him. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, that concept of don't do that, instead realize I'm with you. But right before that, he says something interesting to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And again, he said, listen, you need to remember the promises I've given you in this word. You need to remember who I am in this word. You need to meditate on it. Let it not depart from your mouth. So one of the other ways we experience, if you will, God with us in the midst of anxiety is we read the word together, okay, with him in his presence. And the idea there is to meditate on it, to take our time, particularly in those scripture passages like Psalms, where we find great encouragement, where we find a scripture that pierces our hearts and our minds, and rest there, stay there, meditate on it, maybe even memorize it. One of the things I hope to do with this video is have an attachment that's available to you that's my favorite scriptures regarding different areas of emotional or mental difficulty. And I hope you'll access that. And a number of them are the Psalms of Lament. And so that's the second way that we experience God with us. I think the third way is, you know, you think of Hebrews 3:13. It says, but encourage one another day after day while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, encourage. Okay, well, that means to give courage. If you're encouraging someone in some way, you're giving them courage that they don't have. And that comes into the body of Christ, and that comes into one of the great challenges we have of sheltering in place, is how do I get encouragement from one another, from each other? Okay? Well, that means we have to, if you're like me, I'm kind of a, I guess they call it an ambivert, where I'm kind of half introvert, half extrovert. And I can do either one, and whatever one I'm doing, that's kind of what I do. And I can go into my introvert mode and just kind of disappear, okay? Or I can go into my extrovert mode and just enjoy people. But in this setting, particularly if you are an introvert, one of the easiest things to do would be simply to isolate yourself, not only physically, but relationally. And I think that's where we have to be very intent upon the idea of encouraging one another. The only way people can encourage us is if they know what's going on with us. That means they have to have some sense of what's going on in our heart and in our mind So we have to have some sense of willingness to do that. And we all have our preferences. You know, I'm an old guy, so I don't do Facebook. But there's texting, there's emailing, there's Skyping, there's Zooming, there's all kinds of stuff that we're doing, and that they're laborious. They're second, certainly not as quality as face-to-face contact, which we can't have right now in the same room, if you will. But it's important to do that and do that in a significant way, including old-fashioned phone calls where you can actually hear someone else's voice. So we need to be in contact, sharing on a heart level where we're really at, instead of saying, oh, I'm doing just fine. Really, how fine are you? I'm doing great. Well, how great are you? And so the willingness to share, but also the willing to enter into each other's personal space and say, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Okay, so we need to maintain that body of life contact, if you will. So when I think of fear and anxiety, think fear leads to anxiety. Anxiety is the search for strength and control that we cannot get within ourselves because we're weak. And God says, I'm with you. Come to me with your fears, with your anxieties. Pour them out to me. Let me deal with those. And the scriptures also tell us that one of the ways we experience that with us then is to be in the Word, and particularly in the passages that really minister to us. And again, that handout will hopefully be helpful to you. And then finally, each other. Make sure we're in each other's lives in some significant way. Whatever your preference is in terms of social media, from anywhere in between that and phone calls. So those are the three things that I would think about that we need to practice during this day and time. I know that we miss each other. I certainly miss you guys. And I wish that I was actually talking to you in my office at church instead of on Karen's phone in my office at home. But I want you to know I love you guys and I'm praying for you. And in fact, let me pray right now, okay? Father, just thank you for the time just to talk to the folks at Covenant. Good friends, Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we're in this together. This has not caught you by surprise. This coronavirus is something that you have chosen to allow to come upon us. And so, Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your provision during this time. And, Father, during this time of sheltering in place, we ask that you show us how to take refuge in you through prayer, through the Word, and through talking with each other in this body of Christ that you've given us. Father, we also cry out for our land. We pray that you heal our land physically. And we pray that you heal our land spiritually. That there would be a humbling, there would be a repentance, and we remember how small and weak and dependent we really are as a human race, and we would cry out to you as a land. So, Father, we pray these things, and we ask for your mercy and protection for everyone here at Covenant Community Church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys take care. Love you all.